Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Good tidings we bring, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. West Brom were gubbed and Manchester United are on the march. It's Wednesday, 30th of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jingle Bells.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Jimble Bells.
It's good. Very good. Witty.
Thanks, mate.
It's witty. Yeah.
How you doing, boys? It's that bit, isn't it?
The perineum.
The gooch.
Jim calls it the Christmas perineum. Gooch. Yeah.
Oh, Christmas gooch?
Christmas gooch now.
Christmas Graham gooch.
Traditional Christmas gooch.
But a gooch is a colloquial term for a perineum.
Oh, right? Yeah, very much so.
Just, like, absolutely clear.
Just as well Graham gooch wasn't... batting away for England.
I never really considered that, to be honest.
No, because he was, what was he, in the 80s and 90s?
Yeah.
Big GG.
Yeah. G squared.
There you go. Love that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you've had a marvellous Christmas and you're in that phase where you're eating too much, but you don't give a jobby.
Mm. Yeah.
You think, sod it all, the football's on and the meat is cold, but my goodness, it's tasty.
It's painful, but I'm going to wrap this quality treat in leftover turkey and soldier on.
Someone was saying the other day they run out of crackers for cheese, so they were spreading soft cheese on hard cheese.
I saw that, yes. Lily Allen, I believe.
Oh, was it Lily Allen that originated in? Okay.
Yeah.
We're only doing this show for an hour to have a break from eating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that's about it.
And watching football.
Yeah.
Our troughs are soaking.
Uh-huh.
So what else are we going to do?
Jim, you must be absolutely loving it because Arsenal, who face West Brom, of course, on the weekend, are having a good time. Mm. And it bodes well because you must have been concerned when West Brom got that point at Liverpool. Everyone was saying, oh, Big Sam's back. Oh, here we go. Mm. But then Bielsa said, well, I don't see what all the fuss is about.
Mm.
Well, this guy.
That.
Yeah.
I
watched this game and West Brom weren't very good.
They were dreadful.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it was photoshopped or not. I suspect it was, but there was
a picture
of Big Sam sitting on a Leeds bucket as if he was taking the piss.
No, but they do sell Leeds United buckets.
No, I know they do. I mean, to be fair, he could have just been given one for a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
It could have been photoshopped, or he could be taking the piss.
If he sat on that and it's not photoshopped.
Yeah.
He looks like an idiot now.
Yeah, it's naive, isn't it?
And I'm here for it.
This aged well, says some knob on Twitter.
Yeah,
it's one of those.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it could have been anyone.
Yeah, West Brom weren't very good, Marcus. Always nice, particularly at the festive period, I think, to sit down and watch a game. And I've not had the problems that other people may or may not have had on Amazon Prime. It's been fine.
Yeah, it's the same, actually.
Yeah, but you sit down, you load up Amazon Prime. It's quite exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And then you hear who's doing the coverage, and you hear it's not quite as exciting anymore. And then you start off with a festive game, and you see a lovely comedy own goal.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
A really good one.
Oh. And then Twitter bores.
Yeah.
To pipe up and say, well, he should never be doing a back pass in between his own goalpost anyway. That's page one of under nines football. It's not, but you shouldn't. I agree. Yeah. But people always say that, don't they?
No, he should, because it was funny.
Yeah, it's great.
Enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Let some light into your lives.
Yeah.
Twitter bores.
Check it out.
What's wrong? You know, you've got some problems, address them.
We're going to do a bit more on Twitter in a minute, aren't we, as well?
Yes, we are, actually.
Yeah. I think we might do. You're down the bottom of the table. It's early on in the game. It's just
9 minutes in.
It's textbook, isn't it?
It's not what you need.
It really isn't.
Is Romain Sawyer the only player from St Kitts and Nevis in the Premier League?
Oh, possibly.
I think he is. He's a St Kitts and Nevis international.
Wow. Yeah. That's grand. But
that's the first time I'm even hearing of that place.
But is he
genuinely,
is it the Caribbean?
Yeah. St Kitts and Nevis or Nevis, depending on.
Not aware of it.
Yeah, related to Ben Nevis. Haha, lol.
Yeah.
Was he?
And Ruben Nevis.
Absolutely. Was he? But is he from here? But his.
I don't know, Marcus. I'm not sure about his.
He brought something to the table.
Yeah, but all I know is he'd represented them. He plays for them.
Yeah, okay.
So he plays for international level. If it's good enough for the good people at FIFA, Marcus.
Are you worried he's going to be dropped? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think he's still. I think he might be able to play for them as long as he needs to, as long as he wants to. But let's just say, even for St Kitts and Nevis, it's not helped his international.
Yeah, I think the good people of those islands will be looking at it going, oh, don't embarrass us, mate.
Yeah.
Flipping heck.
Yeah.
I felt a bit sorry for him. And to be honest with you, I mean, if he hasn't looked at... I don't know whether one should blame the goalkeeper or the defender. Goalkeepers will definitely blame the defender.
Don't blame anyone. Just enjoy it.
Yeah.
I blame Allardyce. Yeah. What's he doing?
Yeah, well, you know, he's got to set them up, hasn't
he? What kind of tactics are they doing?
They're moulded in his image.
Yeah.
I like
mould
the way...
being the festive word, of course.
Mm. Sky Sports News covered this game this morning. When I'm on the show in the day, I know in the morning I'm waiting my breakfast, I'll just watch the roundup of the football news from the night before. And Sky Sports News bashed for it quite quick.
Mm-hmm.
And they did their headlines this morning. And I can't remember what they said about... They basically said West Brom lose 5-0 at home to Leeds United. Marcelo Bielsa says this. And they just went... And Sam Allardyce has called for a circuit breaker break to football.
Yeah.
COVID, but they didn't say that.
Yeah,
it made it sound like he was like, well, this is absolute bollocks. Let's just get rid of football because I'm fed up with this.
I need 2 weeks uninterrupted with them on the training ground.
If I'm going to keep my record and never being relegated, I need the sport to end now.
And I need to pull that up as well because he has been relegated. Notts County, 1997.
Of course.
He took over in January.
Yeah.
He somehow managed to, and I respect
it. He's never relegated from the Premier League, isn't it? That's the thing.
Well, okay. But people don't say that.
No, that's true.
They just say Big Sam's never been relegated, which is not true.
In the same way, Jose Mourinho's always won the Premier League every season he's played in it, according to his stats.
Playing now.
Yeah.
He's playing now.
I mean, Allardyce had said of Bielsa ahead of the game, I've got to work out why he's so crazy.
It's like just kicked a hornet's bucket.
Yeah.
Like with all of this pre-match behaviour.
There are hornets under that bucket. Yeah. He just lets a couple out every so often. It's like
to give
fart.
Instructions to players.
Yeah, it's a little hornet fart.
And it's got a little hornet translator as well.
Yeah. Next to it, flying next to it, tiny.
But the way...
Sits on Calvin Phillips' shoulder.
Absolutely, yeah. Dictating the game. But we do know Bielsa sides like to swarm, don't they?
They do.
Which is very infitting. Watch the hornets!
Did you see also after the game? Mm. I watched this game and it was... Because...
Some lovely goals, weren't they?
Yeah, there was two absolute beauties.
Leeds are good for that. They don't just spank you. They spank you in style.
The technique on Rafinha is something else. It's just great to watch. But football has got to the point now, particularly at the Christmas period, where, And I don't know if anyone listening to this show thinks that we know what we're talking about anyway, which is absolutely fine. But if assuming they do, we don't, because no one does. Yeah. And it's good watching and listening to serious, quote-unquote serious pundits try and pretend they know what's happening, because no one does. Everything changes around so quick. So what I'm, this is a long run-up to basically say, when you flick on a football match, which is on all the time, they're on all the time now, seeing a car crash of a game is brilliant.
Yeah,
seeing a 5-0 home defeat is what you want.
Absolutely.
With apologies to West Brom fans, we've all been there, but when you're a neutral, it's great. What's going to happen next? Is it going to be 10? Yeah. I want it to be 10.
Well, with Leeds, it could be. I mean, if you look at their last few results, they lost at home to West Ham 2-1. Then they came back and beat Newcastle 5-2. Then they got beat 6-2. Then they won 1-0, and then they won 5-0.
No one knows what's happening.
Leeds are, it is madness, but it is very, very enjoyable.
I heard a pundit, I forget who it was now, on the radio a couple of days ago, talking about different teams. And everything he said, someone else went, well, that's not, no, because that happened. He went, oh yeah, that happened, didn't it? And he couldn't keep up with it. And the one point he made was that Aston Villa probably aren't going to beat all the big teams, but they're going to beat every team below them because they're a little bit better than everyone expects. And then someone just went, well, they beat Liverpool 7-2. And like, oh, brilliant.
Yeah,
no one knows what's happening.
Leeds United are currently...
It's really refreshing.
They're currently 11th and they are 12 points above the relegation zone.
Yeah.
9 points off the top.
It's mad. Yeah. I said that when at the start of the season when Big Vichy style was... flexing about Philae Fishers and talking about Leeds, where they're going to do
a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I said Leeds will finish in the top. They won't change, and they'll finish in the top half. They haven't changed, so I've been right on that front.
Currently 11th, though, so
I know,
you're struggling.
That would be annoying.
You are
some
struggling.
Way to go.
Did you guys see as well? I don't really know how. I mean, it's amazing to think of what this conversation could have been after the game. Bielsa and Sammy Lee were chatting for quite some time. Possibly because Bielsa can't get his English across.
Yeah, maybe. Mm.
But Sammy Lee was very polite and deferential, which you don't expect of Sammy Lee. You think of him as a right terrier.
You do. Is that because of that famous photo of him and Roy Hodgson?
It's though, exclusively
where
because
Sammy
of that.
Lee looks like an orc.
Yeah. Every day I'm shuffling.
That's the greatest photo that's ever taken in the history of sport.
Do you think, in the same way, Mike Phelan was to Ferguson, is he Allardyce's attack dog?
Yeah, a little bit. Roy Hodgson was like, he's like that, isn't he?
Yeah, Roy Hodgson.
He looks like Wario.
He looks like Wario. He looks like Cyril Sneer.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
from the Raccoons, which younger people you will have to Google, and also some sort of like cartoon gangster, and I do mean actual cartoon. He doesn't look like a real human being in the photo. It's amazing.
He looks like he's in for holding an invisible pool cue as well.
It does. And Sammy Lee looks like someone's crashed his car.
But he's
like fuming.
He's hovering. Like he's got little wings that you can't see in the photo. It's brilliant.
Did Sammy Lee offer Marcelo Bielsa a Werther's original?
He might have done. Could have handed him all his trousers down, couldn't he?
You remember that story I told the other day?
Yeah.
When he's handing Big Sam.
I think people should have to work harder to get our stories.
So
I agree.
It's not one of mine, let's be honest. I wasn't driving.
You were driving.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, Bielsa said after the game, we played in a cautious manner.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Does he realise he just takes the piss so much?
Could be.
Is it lost in translation?
Could be.
It's so great that we talked about Bielsa for years on this show. We remember the 2010 World Cup. Pretty sure it was 2010 when he was managing Chile. Sort of crazy ways. Just to have him in the Prem is just
delightful. We've wanted it for a long time, and it's just delivering.
He's
more than
good.
We could have expected.
He's as good as Leeds United's social media manager is bad.
Well, I was about to say we're very much enjoying Leeds, but there's some of what they've been doing since they've been in the Premier League is under scrutiny, and the big wig at the club even said, "Well, I stand by this," because Karen Carney
was last night after the game.
She was saying how she felt that, and this is a bit of a trope with Bielsa that his teams run out of steam towards the end of the season. We saw that at Marseille, Athletic Bilbao as well. And one could say the same with Leeds, when they didn't go up the first time round under Bielsa. And she said, I think that the break caused by the pandemic helped them because it refreshed them and then they went up. And of course, the official Leeds account tweeted that, retweeted her saying, hang on, we won the league by 10 points. Basically saying this is...
Don't look at me, look at Campbell, he's fuming.
Yeah, well, I think she did say... she said something along the lines of, I think Leeds went up because of COVID, which is clumsily said.
It's like an explosive way of saying it.
I'm sure she was basically in between two people that were speaking already and had to make a point very, very quickly, very succinctly. I'm sure if she had more time to say that, she would have phrased it a bit better than that.
Well, that's the pundit's game, Jim. You've got seconds to say stuff.
Absolutely.
That's why we created this show. You've got more room to breathe.
So it's not a great piece of punditry. I'm sure she'd hold her hands up on that. But the way that the Leeds social media manager, as you rightly point out, sort of made a point of that and sort of really, really dug her out on it, that was only ever going to lead to a pile-on, and it led to a lot of kind of sexist abuse. Karen Carney has had a lot of that before as well, from back when she was a player, some disgusting things aimed at her. And yes, if you are a pundit and you put something out there, then that is up for scrutiny. But I think an official account behaving that way, it isn't great. And they've done it to Gabby Agbonlahor earlier in the season as well. And I appreciate as well, there is a line to be trod if you want to run a social media account in an engaging way that your fans appreciate, that isn't effectively just a kind of boring corporate mouthpiece. But I think they got it wrong on this occasion.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack, I think. One is that Karen Carney is an excellent pundit, in my opinion. And if she is paid to give her opinion on the game, then she should be able to do that without fear of any kind of, you know, personal retribution. I mean, whether you agree with their opinion or not is entirely up to you. That's perfectly your right to say whether you agree with it. That's the name of the game, right? That's what's so popular.
Would you not think, though, that for me, I sort of think, yeah, I mean, an official club account, I think you look a bit precious if you're retweeting and doing
that. Just enjoy
the
win. You just won 5-0 away from home.
Sure, but for me, I sort of think it's the people's responses.
Oh, Marcus, it's multifaceted.
Yeah.
If you take it in chronological order, they've won a game, so they should be really happy with that, and I'm sure they are. They've got Karen Carney making her comments, which is her job. And yeah, like I said, you agree with them or you don't, it's up to you. You've got the official club Twitter acting like some kind of appalling banter account, right?
Well, but I suppose from there...
But the thing... From their point of view, I know what you're going to say. Mm-hmm. I know what you're going to say, and I understand that. Mm. But they also need to understand they don't exist in a vacuum, right? Mm. If they are people who are running social media, we have people who run social media here. We've all, for sure, worked with social media managers in the past. Mm-hmm. They understand what social media is like and what the biggest tropes or the biggest issues with social media have been over the last however many years, which has been racist, sexist, misogynistic abuse of human beings, right? They're human beings, right? So for them to actively partake in that, knowing what's going to happen, and I'll say it now, I'm happy to say it on the show, at the risk of doing a Pete Donaldson, I'll tell you, the amount of Leeds United fans I've muted this season has been more than any other club. I was delighted to see Leeds United back in the Premier League. They're a brilliant club.
Well, and we've just talked about them there.
Yeah, and they've
enjoying their style.
Exactly.
Much so.
But their fans, a section of their fans, everyone in this room's experienced it. Whether you guys want to talk about it or not, it's up to you. When we've been to Leeds, when we've spoken about Leeds, when we've done this, that, and the other, we've experienced a section of their fan base, a section, not all of them, who behave in an abusive manner. Leeds United, that Twitter account, has either done it unthinkingly, which is, okay, it's a mistake, in which case you'd argue then they need to hold their hands up straight away and come out and say, sorry about that, we won't do it again, apologies to Karen, or they've done it on purpose. And if they've done it on purpose, they know what's going to happen, and they've endorsed it, and they've essentially enabled it to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's a load of old shit. And loads of people individually after that have chosen to abuse another human being online. It's bullshit.
And with the quote of the video itself and the actual breakdown of you know what they believe the problem to be, the tweet could not be set up as bait anymore, could it?
No, exactly. It's not on purpose. And I know we have to move on.
Well, gentlemen, answer me this then. How will Jose Mourinho's Instagram account troll Leeds' Twitter account because they face each other on the weekend?
It will get a bit meta.
Do you think? So will Jose do a picture of him like perusing Twitter over his sort of shoulder if Spurs win, and he's kind of, do you know, how will he...
I'd love to have seen Jose pile in on that account and say it's not acceptable. He's got the power, but he wouldn't do it. I just think, finally, we will talk about Leeds and Spurs, obviously. It is different when you're talking about female pundits as well, because they've had to work so much harder to get to where they are, and they're treated in a different way, and people need to understand that. It's not a case of everyone should be there on merit, everyone should be this. Of course that's the case, but the world doesn't work like that, so we have to live in the real world as well.
Well said, sir.
But Spurs Leeds will be an interesting game, because Spurs have been under a lot of pressure, particularly after that Wolves game. And when I say Spurs, I mean probably it's been... Because Mourinho said something really interesting.
Really?
I don't think you guys picked up on it or not, I'm not sure. But he said after the Wolves game, he was asked by what might be the BBC reporter, why are you so negative, basically? And he said a version of, I told the players not to be negative, but they've ignored my instructions. Well, which to me is, I mean, it's a packed list, but it's probably the biggest load of bullshit that Jose Mourinho has said in a very packed year.
Yeah. Well, if the form table's anything to go by, Jim, then the team who are on form at the moment from North London are Arsenal.
Yeah, you'd have to say... And
that's the real quiz.
I assume that you guys were going to get to this, but obviously they beat Brighton last night. It was a scrappy win. It was one of those wins where you win ugly. But winning ugly, that's title-winning form, isn't it?
They're only 12 points off the top.
Well, quite.
I know, a few wins here and there. It was a shame to see Saka hobble off off the pitch because he was brilliant.
He was.
He's been their best player.
He's their only good player.
Yeah.
But he's like 10 at once.
Jim, I asked you this during the international break, and I will. It's been so long since I've talked about England. is he going to win the Euros for England
Saka.
The summer?
Yeah.
You laughed at me when I asked you that. And you're laughing still.
He's got two adorable hands on that trophy already.
He does. He really does. So it was good for Lacazette to score as well.
Yeah, and after 21 seconds, brilliant. Lacazette's been a little bit maligned recently, so that was good for him as well. And also the youngsters coming into the team have given the team a bit of energy, a bit of a boost. First half yesterday was terrible, and that doesn't apply to that, but they were better in the second half, and it showed against Chelsea as well. But Lacazette coming in and staking a claim for a place is great as well. That's what Arteta needs. He needs these people fighting for places and fighting to actually be on the pitch rather than looking like they're terrified to be there.
What do you think of Emile Smith-Rowe?
Big fan. He's been unlucky with injuries. He's one of those players. He's come through that same generation as Nketiah and Saka, but he went out on, and Nelson as well, he went out on loan to Germany, but he was basically too injured to play much. But yeah, he's someone that, you know, fans of Arsenal have been excited about for a while, and it's good to see him get a run. And it's just nice to see a number 10 in there.
Yeah. Well, and also, the other reasons for Arsenal to be positive, Tierney and Martinelli sort of combining and so on. It was just suddenly, the last couple of games. It's this season.
It moves
though.
Quickly, doesn't
well, it?
It
does
they've got some good players. They just don't pick them.
Yeah. I mean, one minute, you know, it was all sort of, you know, winning the FA Cup, and then it's all sort of doom and gloom and relegation fodder and all this kind of crap. And then when a couple of games, this season is moving quicker in my sort of vision than it,
well,
than it ever
is.
Has.
I mean, it is condensed, isn't it? So that is actually happening as well as being the perception of that. But I don't know about you guys, but I'm obviously it's not that much fun as an Arsenal fan, but taking a step back from that and as a sort of general football fan, it has shaken the pack up to such an exciting degree. Obviously, you know, you would think it feels like Liverpool are out in front, but they're only like a point above Man United, 2 points above Man United, rather.
Yeah. So, well, they drew with West Brom.
Exactly. Well, they got spanked by Villa.
I know. Well, that was a while ago.
But it was still brilliant.
And before Arsenal won those two games, Sam Allardyce said this about Arsenal: they will be wondering what has hit them. They will be wondering why they are down there. They will be wondering what it takes to get out of that position. I know what it takes.
Who was that?
This isn't my beautiful Bolton.
How did I get here?
Watching the Gunners go by. Apparently, Jim, this is what we're all about here at Football Ramble.
It's a good noise, that.
It's a lovely noise, that. Yeah. Use it sparingly.
How do you get your head to do that?
Empty?
Well, indeed. but it becomes filled with thoughts when Diego Costa and Atletico Madrid say, no, you know, the contract's torn up, you're free to go. Now, there's the latest...
I think this is irresponsible, letting Diego Costa out into the wild.
Yeah.
Off the leash.
Yeah.
Well, it's like one of those big rhinos you see from a helicopter marauding across the...
Is he bound by any rules?
Yeah.
If he's out of contract,
shoot her! Get the tranquilizer dart at him quickly.
Well,
he might turn up at Arsenal. Arteta's toast.
Well, reportedly, Arteta said, "I've got her."
Yeah, no.
I've got
Diego Costa turned up and said, "I'm the captain now."
Yeah.
God.
If you want me to run your little camping trip.
Yes. That apostle threat. In Jurassic Park 2.
I've moved us on.
There we go.
Yeah.
Still part of the franchise. It's okay.
Diego Costa, Wolves are reportedly interested in him as well.
One thing that people don't realise, to be serious for a second, about Diego Costa, sorry to cut in, but just to make it very, very clear, is that his vision is based on movement.
Yes.
So
Arsenal are the last place he wants to go.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be very confused. Yeah.
Why am I the only person on the pitch? Yeah. I know. Yeah. Do you think Lionel Messi says, "Do not call me the goat" around him?
Yeah,
you
know? Don't put. Yeah.
Stick with the flea. Stick with the flea.
Don't play him against Leeds. He'll get a headache all over the place.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, apparently Arsenal have been keeping tabs on him for some time. And is that the most unlikely destination?
Well, I don't
practically
know.
It's not because
look at Willian. It's like we love a kind of knackered old Chelsea player.
Also, isn't part of the terms of his release that if he goes to a rival La Liga or Champions League club, he has to pay a big amount of money?
Oh, is that right?
Arsenal don't fit into either of those.
Neither do Wolves, though.
Yeah.
True.
I think Wolves is more likely. But to be honest, right, one of the...
Because he speaks Portuguese.
One of the guilty pleasures in my gaff.
Marcus wants to talk about...
And a bit of Spanish,
Portuguese.
Jim. Sorry, I'm just going through his languages. Yeah. Carry on, Zach.
Yeah. One of the guilty pleasures in my gaff is a show on MTV called Catfish, where people have got themselves into weird online relationships with people they've never met. And I've been watching too much of that. And the moment I saw this news, I was like, that is not Diego Costa. Get Neve and Max on this. That is someone's dicking Arsenal about in the same way that someone sold Andres Herrera to Man United once and it wasn't actually him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe this for a moment.
I'm surprised, if you're talking of MTV shows, I'd have put you down as more of a 16 and pregnant type of guy.
Oh, my £600.
Let's move on from that.
My £600 life. That's another one.
I've not seen
Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, come on.
Is that a real one?
Yeah, it's a real one. Can I just say also that Man United, the way you phrased that, Jim. Yeah,
they didn't pay any money, did they?
No, and Ander Herrera Cruci did actually sign for Man United.
Yeah, but later.
Yeah, but people listening thinking, I'm sure I've seen him play for Man United. Yeah. You have. That was a separate incident.
Did you see what Diego Costa said?
How is Ed Woodward still there after that?
Yeah. Do you know why he's got so many D's in his name?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know, Jim?
I don't, actually.
Because otherwise he'd be Ewa-woo-wa.
Yeah, that would be silly.
He's silly, wouldn't it? Apparently after Luis Suarez scored a couple of goals on Costa's return from injury against Elche recently, Costa said he wasn't scoring, the bastard. Now I'm back and he scores twice.
Yeah. Team spirit.
That's why he's got to go, isn't it? Those two clashing, you don't want that. But I mean, Costa's record since he went back to Atletico is pretty average, and that's being kind. So I think, you know, it's tempting to look at Diego Costa coming, like joining Arsenal and think, oh, that'd be a brilliant option. But it looks like he's not the player that we saw him as at Chelsea. But with Wolves being in the situation where they are, where they're having to, you know, rely fairly heavily on Fabio Silva, who's obviously very young, it makes sense in a short-term deal, right?
Yeah, it does. I think it makes sense if they can get him.
It's a better fit for Wolves than it is for Arsenal.
On the sort of wages they want. And Arsenal prefer to deal with certain types of agents. And I don't know who Diego Costa's agent is, actually. I think Wolves is a better environment for him. Mm. And a better move than it would be for Arsenal, I think.
No.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'd like to see him back to our fair shores. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Oh, it would be great.
It's the name of the game. Before we go to the break, a brand new episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy is out today. It's a superb, wide-ranging interview with none other than the lovely man that is Roberto Martinez.
Ooh, back up.
Exactly. He talks about building an identity at Swansea, his loneliness at Everton, and all the highs and lows of being a manager. Check it out over on Between the Lines. Just search for Between the Lines wherever you get your podcasts.
Love that. Now it's time for a break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week on Stakhanov.
Over on the Luke and Pete Show, we've been discussing our usual nonsense, from Disney princesses to fizzy lagers and a whole load more. Here's a taster of what's been on the show.
For some reason, our little recording system has got this piece of music installed. It. I think it's incidental music in a sex ed BBC Two 10 a.m. kind of job.
No way!
It is!
It's too groovy! It's too groovy!
Yeah, it's just like, now on BBC Two, sex and your child.
Meanwhile, over on WrestleMe, we've been doing the 12 days of WrestleMemus, which you can find on our Patreon or your favourite podcast player.
That's why also America is, like, leading the world in serial killers, you know, because they have room. They have room
they have
to dismantle. To dismember.
Dismantle,
to stuff,
yes.
To make marionettes.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, very difficult to be a serial killer.
I would knock into things. I'd get blood everywhere.
But there's always some nosy beak, isn't there? Someone sticking their nose in where it doesn't belong.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
Hello, I am Sven-Göran Eriksson, and you are listening to the Football Ramble.
Oh, popping up all over the gaff. Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway, everybody.
What about that Christmas Day treat for the listeners, Sven?
Oh, my goodness.
You were like a dog with 42 dicks, right?
Well, a good friend of mine said that he lives in Argentina, and he said that he...
That's slappy.
It is. He listened to that podcast while sitting outside in his paddling pool one evening, because it was really, really hot, obviously, because it's their summer. And then it suddenly dawned on him that he was nude, and he said, I'm probably not the first or the last person to hear Sven's beautiful voice whilst nude and wet.
And if you tell... If you tell, and also if you tell Sven, how old is Slappy these days?
Late 30s.
Yeah. Nah, forget it. Carry on.
What do you think?
As I say, if it was a naked Argentinian beauty listening to his dulcet tones on Christmas Day or whatever, Sven would be interested.
He'd be very interested.
Would he be interested in Slappy?
Probably not.
No, fair enough. Disrespectful to you, mate.
Yeah, as he said in the interview, I'm too old these days.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course,
you can hear the glint in his eye, though.
There we are. Right, ladies and gentlemen, time for these.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
So we have had some correspondals from Edward Ritter. Now, that to me, that sounds like the name of a villain from an 80s action movie.
It sounds like the guy, the son of... who's the actor that plays Sarah Connor's son in Terminator 2 Judgment Day?
Edward Furlong?
Yes, that's it. That's what I was thinking of. For some reason, it reminded me of that.
Who is also Chicharito.
The time wouldn't work out, but they do look similar.
Well, there's time travel involved.
Mildly similar.
So
it's like when Liam Gallagher got convinced that he was the reincarnation of John Lennon. And then Noel Gallagher pointed out that he was born two years before.
Probably not how that works, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Robbie Williams also did an interview where he said when he wrote one of his songs, it happened after he had prayed to John Lennon. Just shut up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, that could be true.
No, it couldn't.
It could be true.
It's not happened, though, is it?
What, which song was it?
Jim, the Road to Mandalay, I believe.
Don't even know it. Don't even know it.
Jim, don't get in the ring.
Sorry.
You can't lose if you don't play, Jim.
That's a good point. Yeah. Good point. Let's not debate whether or not...
And I always play.
Yeah. Anyway, Edward Ritter's been in touch.
Hi, Edward.
A recent show briefly discussed the Snowmageddon World Cup qualifier between the US and Costa Rica in 2013. Great memories of that. But did not mention the incredible lengths Costa Rica went to disrupt the US in the return fixture in September of 2013. The US arrived and went through normal customs and immigration procedures instead of being fast-tracked, causing significant delays. To be fair, the US did the same to Costa Rica in March. A large crowd of irate Costa Ricans also pelted the bus with eggs while chanting, "No fair play, USA," before spending the next few nights singing outside the team hotel to disrupt their sleep. No big deal. But the Costa Rican Federation refused to help US soccer find a place to train before the game, and several locations refused to permit the US to enter their facilities. The team ended up at a dairy, a grocery store, that had a nice grass field where their sessions were consistently interrupted by the dairy's mascot, a man in a cow suit with an air horn.
That is top draw.
The Costa Rican Federation also neglected to comply with a FIFA requirement to supply the visiting squad of footballs that would be used in the game to train with, and taxi drivers in San Jose organised a traffic slowdown while the team were trying to get to the stadium. This didn't work. The USA lost the game 3-1, though in the end topped CONCACAF qualifying. So that's from 80s action movie villain Edward Ritter.
That's great.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. And also, doesn't Costa Rica have like the... Aren't they like the happiest nation on earth? And they sort of always regularly come out on top
they're
as like places with like highest quality of life.
Are they?
Just generally happiest population or something like that.
So Denmark and Finland are usually quite high on that list. But I know what you mean, though. There's like an expression there, la vida pura, you know, which is like this sort of literal translation, I think, is the pure life, I think. Mm. But it's kind of like the relaxed life, the good life. Yes, it is. They don't have an army, for example.
Right, yeah.
The most recent top 10 list, Costa Rica, right, in it?
No, but right. Relative, certainly for the region.
Do you want the top 10 or what?
No.
Is this quality of life or happiest?
The 10 happiest countries in the world.
Finland and Denmark are top two, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jim, you want to have a guess?
Happiest nation in the world.
England.
Strangely, they don't make it either.
Is it 27 European countries joined together?
Yeah. The European Union as well. I bet the Aussies and the Kiwis are in there.
So number 10, Luxembourg.
Yeah, of course.
Number 9, Austria.
Yeah. Oh.
Number 8, New Zealand, yep. You'd expect.
Yeah.
Number 7, Sweden, Sverige.
Yeah, well, of course.
Number 6, Netherlands.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, they're a bit angry. Maybe they've cheered up a bit.
Number 5, Norway.
Yeah.
Number 4, Iceland.
Yeah, it's all the Scandies and all
number
them.
Number 3, Switzerland, and then Denmark, and then Finland.
There you are.
Costa Rica.
I'm wrong.
I mean, I don't know anything about Costa Rica.
Maybe they're 11th.
All I was going to say, though, it's like...
Still very high.
Yeah. They've really got themselves up for that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's not they're not a feisty bunch.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of those in that region of the world, I think. Mm. Excellent.
Jim, so you've got another... We're going to move on to some names that have been haunting listeners.
Oh, yes.
I had a dream about Johan Bash. I didn't have a dream about him. His name was rattling around my head, which worried me when we... played Brighton yesterday, but he didn't score. So
when I heard you say that, it reminded me of something, just very quickly, that we did this online draft for fantasy football, right? Mm. A couple of seasons ago. It might have been the start of last season. I know the years always blend into one these days, particularly with the pandemic. But we were all doing the online draft in our respective homes. So we're seeing who people were selecting on the thing, on the screen. And between my mates and I, we've been talking about it for ages, right? And we're really gearing up for who we're going to do for our first pick. And it's done at random who gets the first pick. And my mate Jimmy got the first pick, right? And no word of a lie, like 30 seconds before the draft started, his internet went down, which meant he just got given a random selection and he got given your hand back for his first pick. And he'd never played in the Premier League before that point. And I was sitting there thinking, why the fuck has he picked Johan Bash? So that when you said that, that reminded me of that's a play that always sticks in my mind as well. I always remember him for that reason.
Interesting. Well, Taylor Pritchett has been in touch saying, since playing FIFA 99 on PS1 at the age of 3, the name Jesper Blomqvist of Manchester United at the time has been in my head almost on a daily basis ever since. Never actually saw him play. Therefore, just looked at his goals to games ratio and I'm bloody glad. I remember Man United playing against possibly Gothenburg, who he played for at the time, and his name standing out, and then later signing him.
He started the Champions League.
I was about to say, have a bit of respect.
Put some respect.
Jim. Taylor. Because he started the Champions League. He was a part of that side that won the treble.
Yeah, he was a squad player, and he filled a hole.
And also, no one's playing FIFA 99 at 3 years old, for one. Mm. Two, Blomqvist was a decent player. And three, it's a rare example of someone having a Q in their name or Q in a word without a U after it.
Absolutely.
So put some respect on it.
Also, Taylor, as Luke points out, playing FIFA 99 at 3 is an outrageous claim.
It's really, it's like a pointless claim as well. Just don't say how old you were. Yeah. It's
moving
pointless.
On, Liam Roberts says simply, Jan Venegor of Hesseling.
Mm. Yeah.
I think we can all get behind.
Why does that haunt you, though? It doesn't haunt you, that. That's a good little.
You probably just want answers, don't you?
Good name, that's
very true. Very true. Well, thank you very much for your emails there, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we've got some Premier League action tonight. Apparently, Spurs and Fulham, that's in doubt, that one, because of COVID and all that kind of stuff.
Lots of games being postponed in the Football League as well, by the way.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of trouble there. I mean, we had some Championship as well last night. Oh, Sheffield Wednesday won. Sacked Tony Pulis.
Yeah.
And they won a game.
Yeah. Mm.
What was that? Pulis, 45 days in charge. I was quite surprised at that.
And he was giving it the big one about wanting to meet Sheffield United in the Premier League, wasn't he, at the start?
I mean, he did win just sort of 1 in 10, so maybe his methods, they don't...
I don't know an awful lot about Sheffield Wednesday at the moment, but what I do know is that it's not very good.
Yeah, no, they are struggling. So good for them that they won last night. Looking ahead, though, in the Premier League, Chelsea against Manchester City was a fixture. I was quite looking forward to that one, I think. But, of course, Man City, their game was postponed against Everton, and there's a bit of investigation going on there, with Everton sort of pushing that. So that game, you wonder if that can go ahead, because Man City's training ground has been closed after that COVID outbreak.
We should also mention there's games tonight, right? But we're not going to preview them.
Well, as I said, Spurs and Fulham tonight, that is in doubt.
Well, you did mention that already.
Yeah, Newcastle play Liverpool. When I see that fixture, I think, is it going to end 4-3? And I think, that is a long time ago now. I really must move on from that.
Of all the seasons.
Of all the seasons, Newcastle aren't scoring 3 goals, mate.
It could go one better. It could go like 4-4 or something, or 5-3
again.
But without being too serious, but just for a moment,
yes.
So the season's been condensed so much that the way the football authorities have managed to get this season happening is by giving no wriggle room at all.
Yeah.
So they're doing things like, I don't think they're not doing replays in the FA Cup. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be 2 legs in the semi final. There's a few things that have changed. Right. The Champions League was condensed, for example. Mm-hmm. Right. If we get, and football, we should say, the world of football has been very, very good, from what I can make out, at limiting these infections.
They've done remarkably well.
But if it starts to go a different way, that we might arguably be seeing the start of now, I genuinely don't know what they'll be able to do. Mm. Because the European Championship starts on the 11th of June. Mm-hmm. You'd imagine that's happening because the vaccinations will be widespread by then. You think that's probably going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. I imagine the venue might change. They might change some of the logistics around it, but that's going to happen. So there's actually no room. Mm. If they don't, if they have to postpone, I don't know how many because I can't really work it out in my mind at the moment, but if they have to postpone a certain amount of games, they're simply not going to be able to finish the season. Mm. And I don't know what's going to happen. Mm. And I've got no point to make other than just pointing that out.
Yeah, 6-pointers? Play two
double
games,
headers like in Sunday headers. Football.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 2 games of like 30-minute halves.
Hungover double headers. They're the worst. You do an hour, Jim, for the first game, an hour for the second game of half time in the middle, and it counted as 2 games.
I just 6 points. 90 minutes, 6 points.
Yeah, all to play for.
That's what I would
get the stakes up
prefer.
High.
I did that twice. We drew both games.
Disappointed.
Got 2 points. It's like,
that's all right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, funny old game, isn't it? Mm. Manchester United, though, they are playing, they're going to play Aston Villa, you know, all being well.
Hey, Solskjaer has taken the Man United Tribute Act, the Sir Alex Ferguson Tribute Act, to unbelievable levels now.
I mean, they're
it's
second.
It's not being said enough.
They are second in the league, 2 points behind Liverpool.
And they won in Fergie time.
Are they going to knock Liverpool off that perch, Jim?
That'd be hilarious, wouldn't it? If they could climb straight back up there.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously not
or
great.
Like, put some further distance between them and the perch.
I mean, they beat Wolves 1-0. Not a great game. And I know he's, you know, national treasure Marcus Rashford, absolutely, but he nearly angered me.
Why was that?
Well,
not squaring it.
He should have squared that to Cavani, and he got lucky with the deflection that he scored that, because it's. As I was watching it, I was thinking, Cavani is open, and that is Edinson Cavani. I know you're good, Rashford, but look at the angle, look at where you are. Square it. He doesn't square it, he hits it, and I think, what have you done? Lucky.
Yeah.
Very lucky there, young man.
In the words of Big Pav, life support machine job. You would unplug a life support machine to plug in your mobile phone. That's what he'd say. Life support machine job.
Yeah, but they won, though. It went in. Exactly. That's what the history books will say.
Wolves had a chance themselves late on Silva.
Yeah, they did.
Mm. Yeah, which is so they rode their luck a little bit. But listen, they're second, and again, it's another example of it's very hard to really properly assess where teams are at, what they're good at, what they're bad at, because it changes so often.
Look at Wolves. I mean, we know obviously they're missing Jimenez, you know, after that terrible injury, but they've won one in their last six. They're sitting 12th. But I mean, we have seen this with Wolves before, and then they kind of get going and they finish quite comfortably in the top half. Yeah. And we kind of expect that, really. If they got Diego Costa, that would be quite something as well. But they lost the game at the end of the day, and their local rivals, I suppose, Aston Villa, are going to play Manchester United. And Villa got themselves a handy point away at Chelsea. I mean, Villa are the side that I think that have surprised me the most this season. Mm. I just didn't expect this at the start. I know it's been a crazy season, da-di-da-di-da, but they've got a game in hand from Liverpool. They've played 14, Liverpool have played 15. If they win that, which obviously is not a given, but if they do, then they'll be 3 points off the top.
Yeah.
Which is just madness.
The Man United game is their game in hand, right? I think it is.
Right, okay. Well, Manchester United have played they've played the same as Liverpool, 15 games. But it shows you that when I look at Manchester United and I think they're only 2 points off the top.
Yeah.
Are we being harsh with Solskjaer? Are we being, you know, what's the thing? And then you look at Villa and you go, oh yeah, it is a bit mad this season. I mean, look, where do you see? Is it any clearer what you think of Solskjaer at Manchester United?
No, not really. And if you think it, Man United have only lost something like 4 games. Since the start of October or something.
Yeah, they've lost three in the league this season.
They've played a lot.
And
you could add that kind of principle with Chelsea as well. Mm. Just when you think, oh, what Chelsea needs... So the timeline of Chelsea in my mind is they can't stop conceding goals. Mm. So they bring in a new keeper. They bring in Thiago Silva, hugely experienced and decorated centre-back, and it seems to sort itself out. Mm-hmm. Then that drifts again.
Yeah. Mm.
And then all of a sudden... Even though they look like without Silva they were struggling at the back, mm-hmm. even when Silva plays they're struggling at the back. Yeah. And the goalkeeper, who looks like an improvement on Kepa, which of course he is, his form starts to drop off as well. So it's very difficult to predict.
It is, but I think, as I say, obviously they didn't play this week and we've already sort of mentioned them, but I think people, they're forgetting about Manchester City. They've won four in the last six. They've got a game or two in hand on some of the teams above them. You know, if they start winning again, you know, they'll be up there.
Yeah.
Because you can say, oh, well, they're down in eighth. But again, the league table is telling a lot of porky pies this season.
So it's not a vintage Pep Guardiola Man City side that we've seen in the past, I don't think.
No.
But they've only lost 2 games in the league this season. They've only lost 2 games in total this season. And they're just starting to show signs now that they might be about to hit their form. And their two next games, excuse me, Chelsea away, Man United away.
Well, that'll show, won't it?
If they get 6 points out of that.
Well, the Manchester Derby will be very, very interesting indeed.
Mm. We always think that.
Oh, yeah.
And then sometimes it's utterly
Do you remember that
turgid.
One? Oh, there was one with... Was there one, Mourinho was United manager? United might have even won it, and it was one of the worst.
No, wasn't it 0-0?
0-0. It was one of the worst games I've ever seen.
Yeah, not this season though, boys.
No.
Well, I mean, what? I mean,
there was a 0-0 that angered me a while back.
I mean, this season's the last one was horrific.
Well, you're talking about Mourinho style. Solskjaer style has, of course, been under a lot of scrutiny. Louis van Gaal.
They played at the start of December and it was shit.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
Didn't cover it. It was so bad we couldn't bring ourselves to it.
Well, earlier this month, big LVG, obviously, he does
What's he doing now?
He loves it, doesn't
just
he?
Just piping up.
He is,
He's taking a break from Queens of the Stone Age and he's just piping up about Man United. It's brilliant.
He said, United just defend and put a couple of players up front who can run 100 metres in 9 seconds. Is that a world record?
So specific.
Would be, yeah. Would be a world record.
Have a little Google, Lou.
Yeah, so I don't think it is necessary. So the world record for the 100 metres is Usain Bolt. It's 9.58. But
it's not the point here.
No, well, the point I was going to make is that... If you think about it, if you take just a random 100 metre section of a race, then the guy who's also Usain Bolt, who's got the world record on the 200 metres, the second 100 metres where he's already got a running start, he's probably going to run that second portion of the 100 metres faster than 9.58.
Mm, right.
So the world record probably, technically, is 9.58, but actually in real life, it's longer. It's quicker. And I believe there was also some archaeologists who found out just by stride patterns of some Aboriginals in Australia in the past, they might have even been able to run faster than that.
My goodness.
They could have been messing with future historians, though.
True. You'd never rule it out.
You don't know, do you?
No, I can't.
That is true.
I don't know any of it.
Gentlemen, talking about records and so on, that leads us neatly on to something that is not Premier League. Messi, of course, got the record, or so we thought, for goals scored by a player at a single club. And we thought, what an achievement. That's that put to bed. But of course... Santos have piped up, haven't they? I did think to myself, hang on, that's gone under the right. That slipped through the House of Lords very, very seamlessly.
Can I also say, to be more specific, so Santos and Pele have come out. In fact, I don't think Pele said anything.
Oh, well, Romario's, what is he cooking up?
It'll be next week. Santos have came out and said, oh, actually, Messi still hasn't broken the record for the most number of goals scored at one club.
Yeah.
But the thing, what I like about this is what they call themselves.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is amazing.
The Association of Researchers and Historians of Santos FC. It's just a bunch of blokes.
That didn't exist, that title, until about a week ago.
No, yeah. Incorporated 2020.
Messi's done what? Quickly.
Yeah.
Assemble.
That's it then. You'll decide, will you? That's completely unbiased, isn't it?
Well, they claim that Pelé's goals in friendly matches do, in fact, count. Meaning Messi is who scored, what is it, 400 odd goals for Barcelona? He got there
600.
Sorry,
he's in all competitions. He's got 715.
But
I mean, I think he's talking league.
I think it was sort of league domestically.
Yeah.
So this means that Messi, marvelous achievement. If he really wants to surpass Pele's 1,091 goals, he's going to have to score for another 448 goals.
Credit where it's due.
I'll get started then.
448 goals in friendlies. Jesus. Because Santos used to go all over the place and they would tour like the Harlem Globetrotters, effectively, wouldn't they?
It doesn't count.
Exactly, but in their defence, though, those friendlies were played in front of crowds. Friendlies, they did have an extra meaning. So a friendly back then, when they would play these exhibition matches against European sides or whatever, we don't really have that so much these days. So that
they were competitive, is what you said.
They were competitive, essentially.
But the real story
I don't know if they're 448 goals worthy competitive. That is very, very in question. He didn't get half of them away to Milan in an exhibition match or something like that.
But the statement also reads, the numbers are absolute. A goal against Transvaal from Suriname has the same value as a goal scored at Real Madrid in the middle of the Santiago Bernabeu.
Yeah, so they've undermined their argument with that. Yeah.
In the middle. That implies from the halfway line, right?
Yeah. The real story here is just how much they care, isn't it? Because I don't imagine that that it really matters in what is essentially a team sport. But one of the best stats about Messi and his goals is Richard Jolly, who's a really good follower on Twitter. He does all these great stats. He said he found out and researched and revealed that since Lionel Messi scored his first goal, he has outscored Tony Pulis teams by 715 to 696, which is amazing.
It's brilliant.
Does that mean he gets to go in the Crystal Dome or not?
Yeah. he had 696 silver tokens, but 715 gold tokens.
My goodness.
Amazing.
My goodness. Marvellous stuff. Right, a couple of odd things that happened over the Christmas period, which are worth bringing to your attention if you don't already know. The Russian manager, Leonid Slutsky, the big slut, is back. He's been covering Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You in English.
Why has he done that?
Because he's... You know, because he's a bit wacky.
Yeah, I love that you even attempted to answer that, Mark.
James Horncastle once told us a story. I think it was James Horncastle, and I think I'm right in saying about Leonid Slutsky falling out of a tree.
Slutsky said that was what happened. Did he get injured and then he couldn't play football for it? I think there might be a sort of like an origins
story. He's a bit of a character.
How does he end up in the tree in the first place?
Saving a cat or something.
Yeah, I can't remember.
All he wants for Christmas is you, Jim Campbell.
God, terrifying.
Why did you disappoint him?
If you've not seen the video, it is a video. They've made a proper music video with Rubin Kazan players in it and everything.
Mm.
I wanted to play it, but the suits and the beards wouldn't let me because of rights reasons.
Damn. Bloody the man.
Yeah.
There's a bit where they're eating referee-themed biscuits, aren't they? He takes a bite out of a big VAR one. Nice. And there's a specific... What I can Satire. Only assume is a specific Russian referee as well that he takes
Was Armando Iannucci directing it?
Who knows?
Pretty biting satire, that.
It is, yeah. Speaking of that kind of stuff, did you see what happened at Queen of the South in Scotland?
I did.
Yeah, they could face fines after... Gorgeous George Galloway was seen in the stands. Him and his family were there at their Boxing Day game against Dundee. The club issued an initial apology for supporters who have been upset by his attendance. That's because of COVID, not the fact that why is George Galloway in our stadium?
Yeah. I've got a statement from Galloway here.
Go on.
Would you like me to drink the milk?
We might have to explain
that.
Or maybe you shouldn't.
Nah, yeah. I don't care. Look it up.
Yeah, well, apparently they apologised, saying that Galloway had been granted permission to attend when Dumfries and Galloway was in Tier 1 and admitted that we should have informed Mr Galloway.
Do it in the accent. Longer,
we should have informed Mr Galloway that he could no longer attend the match.
Why is Craig Brown coming
out? I was thinking...
So shout out for...
How dare you say that I'm not... worthy of being here.
Why don't Scottish people like this show?
I don't know. They love it, mate.
They do.
Did you talk about George's
Highlander? I don't know. Is that what that was for?
That's how George's George Galloway speaks, Jim. He's sort of like...
Wasn't he in Star Trek?
He was. He was in all of them.
Well, can we just take a moment to list... So I'm going to give you a name, Jim, very quickly. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going really long on the show, but I'm going to give you a name really quickly.
Go on.
And I'm going to give you three names. You've got to tell me whether you think it's a real Scotland team or not.
Go on.
A real team of Scotland or not. Okay, ready? Inverkeithing Hillfield Swifts.
Even you're not convinced by that.
No, have I got to guess one in a...
You've got to guess whether it's real or not.
Quick game's a good
game.
I
really want that to be real, so yes.
Yeah, it's real.
Oh, do you know what? I didn't think that was.
Lothian Thistle Hutchison Vale.
Yep.
Yeah, that's also real.
Hutchie Vale, yeah. I remember playing against their youth team.
Dun Donald Bluebell.
Now, I believe this to be a trick question and that they're all real.
Yeah, they're all real.
Yeah.
They're all real. I didn't even get to Crossgates Primrose.
Love it.
What about Bonnie Rigg Thistle, Jim?
That sounds a bit far-fetched to me.
Yeah, well, there might well be a team that, but of course Bonnie Rigg Rose, but their Scottish Cup games have been called off recently. By the way, just to say that Galloway justified his attendance by claiming that he was planning to sponsor the club and was spreading the word about the club to millions of people. Millions. And we wanted to just help that along its way. They are gorgeous. Millions.
Presented without comment.
Yeah.
Presented
absolutely.
Without comment.
Oh, now I've heard of Queen of the South. I'll support them. Give them money.
Right, now it's time for To Score with Betway. Entry to Betway's Four To Score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Obviously, have to get that clear. You must make sure they're selected before the first game. Otherwise, it won't count. Further T's and C's apply. Game one is on Saturday. It's Brighton v Wolves. And Marcus Speller, you're up again.
Ruben Neves.
Nice. Okay.
Big Neves.
Yeah.
Thinking he's going to play alongside Matinho on the base up midfield.
He's just due a goal. He's due a 20-yarder.
Due a pinger. Fair enough. Okay, Ruben Neves. Game two is you, Jim Campbell. West Brom v Arsenal Saturday night.
Yes. I've gone for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, and obviously he's not in great form, but I don't know who he's going to start. And I think given that he's a penalty taker, I've played it a bit safe there. And this almost certainly means that West Brom will score first.
Yeah, and then Big Sam will be really aggressively chewing gum down the camera. I think he will start. So you've got a decent chance. Burnley v Fulham, Sunday lunchtime. That's me. I've gone for no scorer. Trivia fans will notice that that's the first time I've ever done no scorer. So that's my selection. To be honest, I couldn't even bring myself to think about it. It's such a shit game. Game four, Newcastle v Leicester is Jules Breach, our very own Jules Breach. And she had this to say.
Merry Christmas, guys. Do we still say that once the actual day has passed? Anyway, I've said it. Hope you all had a lovely one. I reckon for Newcastle, Leicester, it's got to be Jamie Vardy, hasn't it? He didn't start the last game. He also didn't score. So he's going to be bang up for it. Jamie Vardy, first to score.
He's also was very angry with Ayoze Perez, wasn't he? For missing the chance. Okay, so that's Jamie Vardy as dual selection. So we've got Ruben Neves, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, no scorer in Burnley Fulham, and Jamie Vardy in Newcastle v Leicester. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply, 18+, and do gamble responsibly. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. Okay.
Let me add a little bit of spice to that.
It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yeah, boy, it's time for Luke's game, isn't it? Luke's game. It's Marcus Speller, the current lineal champion.
Oi, oi.
I think you're the person who's held the title for longest now.
Probably.
I think some of my minions told me.
Kate held it for a while.
Yeah, she avoided it for a while.
Yeah.
She did a proper Riddick bow. And chuck the belt in the bin.
She played
than
a load of friendlies as well, didn't she?
That's that's a metaphor. Kate Mason should not be fighting Lennox Lewis.
No.
It'd be a bloodbath. Right.
Lewis wouldn't know what it is.
Yeah. Marcus is the current linear champion. Jim Campbell is the former champion. Yeah. So he's got pedigree as well. We're going to bust through this, you guys, okay? Really important. Jim's obviously going to go first because he's the challenger, but it's really important that you both have fire in your belly and your head in the freezer. Okay, the first player, Jim Campbell, he's played for 7 clubs in total. He's Thomas Hitzlsperger.
I'm going to go for 3.
Oh, straight in there with 3. That's a good opening bid. That's the sweet spot, Marcus, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'd like you to name your 3.
Okay.
Cool.
One at a time, please, Jim Campbell.
Because I do not have 4.
3 clubs that Thomas Hitzlsperger, who retired in 2013, has turned out for.
Aston Villa.
Correct.
Yeah. I was thinking that Swedish side.
Probably how you would have said it.
West Ham.
West Ham is also correct.
He actually played for them, did he?
Yeah, he played 11 league games for them.
Oh, okay. Fair play.
I'm a Hitzlsperger. And this one is obviously a little bit of a hit and hope from long range, as the man was very good at himself. I'm going to go for Hamburg.
Oh, Jim.
Point to Marcus.
Stuttgart.
Yes, that would have been correct.
Cologne? Cologne?
No.
Ah, you see, I wasn't sure about that one. That's why I didn't do...
Aston Villa. Did a bit of time at Chesterfield on loan in 2001. Stuttgart, Lazio.
Oh, right.
West Ham United, Wolfsburg.
Ah.
Yeah, that's as good. And Everton. And for
Everton.
Those... Yeah, 7 league games at Everton.
That never happened.
It did. And I tell you what also happened. I once saw him at Victoria Station.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so there we go.
This game no reveals that. Hitzlsperger, I can't picture him at all.
I have to also say, if you would have said Victoria Station, that would have been correct. Because incorrect, because I saw him, but he didn't actually play a game there.
Okay.
He was just commuting. Okay, Marcus, you're up first. Sorry, you're up next. Sorry, what am I talking about? 1-0 to you. You're up next. 7 clubs also. Still playing. Glenn Whelan.
He's not still playing.
He is still playing. Don't you dare question me.
Can I ask how old he is, or is that against the...
You can ask, but I can't tell
okay,
you.
Okay, okay.
So I haven't looked it up.
Glenn Whelan.
Yeah. 7 clubs.
7 whole clubs.
Yeah. This is a tough one, because Glenn Whelan's he's less a human being, more a gas.
Yes.
You're aware of his presence.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you can't really place it.
No, you're absolutely right. I'll go for 2.
Okay, fair enough. Jim?
I think I've got 2 as well, which puts me... Do I go on the front foot? Ah, yeah, screw it. I'll go on the front foot.
You want 3?
For Glenn Whelan, I'll go for 3,
Please name your 3.
Okay, Jim, again, 3... you find yourself in the unenviable position of having to name 3 football clubs that obscure football players played for. 1 at a time, please.
Stoke City.
291 league games for Stoke City. That's correct, that's 1.
I think he played for Villa.
He did, 68 league games.
Okay, now this one is just going to be an absolute shot in the dark. So let's go for Hull City.
I see why you've done that. I see where you've gone for that. But unfortunately, it's incorrect.
Leeds United?
Manchester City is where he started his career.
Of course. Right.
Of course. Shut up.
Bury on loan.
Yeah, of course.
He spent a lot of time at Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh, who doesn't remember that?
Stoke City, Aston Villa, Hearts, your boys.
Yeah.
And then he's currently playing at Fleetwood Town under Joey Barton.
Blimey, O'Reilly.
If Joey Barton's still
there,
I haven't checked.
You tell us now.
I don't know, Marcus.
Oh, okay.
I can look it up for you if you want me to.
Go on then.
I mean, God, bloody hell. What's this? The Football Ramble or Luke Googles things for Marcus?
Well, currently we're in the latter.
He's 36.
36, okay.
So that's 2-0 to Marcus.
Okay.
And Jim, veteran grizzled journeyman warhorse Glenn Whelan, younger than all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is depressing.
All right, Jim, you need to get this one to stay in.
I've been very Jose Mourinho today so far.
2-0 with 3 to
as
play.
As is your right, mate.
But what I'm saying is, well done for going on the front foot, because that's what makes the game good.
Yeah, let's hear what he's made of now.
Yeah.
9 clubs. Retired in 2018, I believe. Darren Bent.
Darren Bent. Okay.
Dazzy B.
Should have a bit more joy with this one, I think. Who could forget Glenn Whelan's time the 2 loan spells that Glenn Whelan spent at Bury?
Darren Bent, I'm coming up. I've got 3 for definite.
Up to you, mate. Your own decisions. Going to have to push you for a number, though, big man.
I'm going to go 4.
Okay, Marcus, do you want five?
I'll go five.
Yeah, I think you're going to get this one.
I'll have a go. Well, I'm not sure about this, but I'll go five.
Five? Jim, do I hear six from you?
You do not.
Okay, so Marcus, five clubs, please. One at a time. Your first chance in...
Yeah, well, I thought to myself, I can't...
Clubs.
I've got to go for this.
Yeah, it'd be embarrassing otherwise. for a people's champion. This bit disrespectful to the fans that have turned up.
Yeah.
What's it like watching Marcus play Luke's game? He didn't really do anything.
No.
Right, go.
Sunderland.
That's correct. 58 appearances in the league.
Charlton.
That's also correct. 68 appearances in the league.
Tottenham Hotspur.
That's three. 60 appearances in the league.
Aston Villa.
That's also correct.
Derby County.
What button am I going to press here now? That one.
Marcus Speller wins!
There it is.
That's absolute pasting. Yeah, so Darren Bent has played for 9 clubs in total. Ipswich Town, Charlton Athletic, Spurs, Sunderland, Aston Villa, Fulham, Brighton, Derby and Burton Albion.
I didn't even say Fulham.
Yeah, of course.
It's so funny what this game does to you. You think, hang on, okay.
3-0. It's a big, it's an absolute rinsing.
I've had a man sent off and scored an own goal there.
Yeah. You are the Romaine Sawyers of Luke's game.
Yeah, but you went on the front foot though, and I think that the people respect that.
Well, it was naive.
Yeah.
It was. Do you want to
come on, let's have
briefly go through? So Jim, you'd have been Marcus, you'd have been first on this one.
You go on then.
11 clubs, Tel Ben Haim.
Oh, bloody Nora.
11 of those.
Have we had him before?
Not in this season, we haven't.
Okay, though. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right. You're welcome to check. You're welcome to question my very integrity.
Three on that.
Yeah. Well, he's my guest, Jim.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Shut up, Jim.
I'll have three.
Marcus? Sorry, Jim.
I'll go four then.
Oh, I'll go five.
Okay.
Great.
Jim?
No.
Okay.
So you might have been confusing us with confusing Talbot him with a fellow Israeli player we did recently.
Ben Ayoun.
Yossi Ben Ayoun.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Tel Ben Haim may have been done in the distant past. We started the year zero from the start of this season. Mm-hmm. He's not been done this season.
Okay.
How many clubs did you say?
Five.
Get on with it then.
Yeah. Portsmouth.
That is sadly correct. No, he's all right.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
West Ham?
Ooh.
Ooh, I got it wrong.
Yes.
Oh. Rangers.
Rangers.
Glasgow Rangers. I should have said QPR actually, that was the Rangers. Yeah, but I've said Glasgow Rangers, that's the rules.
Yeah, QPR is correct. Yeah. Rangers is not correct.
Ah, for some reason I thought he was up there.
That's a point to Jim. So it's Maccabi Tel Aviv, Bolton, Chelsea, Man City, Sunderland, Portsmouth, West Ham, QPR, Standard Liège, Charlton, Maccabi Tel Aviv again. And then he's apparently still playing at Beitar Jerusalem.
That's ridiculous. Why did I say Rangers? Because I had the other ones. Well, anyway, not to worry.
Doesn't matter.
That's the game.
It's 3-1. So the final one would have been Jim to go first. It's 10 clubs. Carlton Palmer.
Ooh. Bloody hell.
Retired in 2005. I don't know why that's weird. I mean, it just is.
How many clubs?
He's played for 10 professional clubs.
10. I'll go four, and a couple of them are going to be guesses.
Okay, go for it. Oh, no, Marcus, you want five?
Well, I had three that I was confident with, but you go your four.
So, Leeds United?
He did play for them, yeah, for 3 seasons.
Wimbledon?
I don't know about that.
That's wrong.
Oh, is it really? He just seems like the most Wimbledon player ever.
I had Sheffield Wednesday and Aston Villa.
Ah, God, yeah, Wednesday.
Yeah, Sheffield Wednesday is correct. I don't think he didn't play for Aston Villa.
Oh, there you go.
Another own goal.
Yeah, West Brom, Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds United, Southampton, Nottingham Forest, Coventry, Watford.
Oh, Coventry with the other one.
Sheffield Wednesday again, Stockport County, Dublin City, Mansfield Town. He also played for Staveley Miners Welfare, but they're not professional clubs, so that doesn't count.
Get a load of that, ladies and gentlemen. 4-1. There we are.
4-1 to Marcus.
Manager sent to the stand.
A solid win.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure. We, of course, will be back on Monday, the 4th of January, to talk about all the weekend's action. Mm. Hopefully, it will be brimming full of action and no games cancelled and all that kind of stuff.
Don't forget, there'll also be a little treat for people tomorrow. Oh. So look out for that.
Yes.
A little treat. Not going to go into any detail.
Oh, no.
It's nothing to be scared of.
No, absolutely not.
Don't forget, it's an audio medium.
Indeed.
So it should be fine.
It can't hurt you. Mind you, the last treat we gave them on Christmas Day could have scared some people.
Probably did.
Uh-huh. Yeah, probably I'd like to think it charmed them in the end, though.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you, people. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.